Book of Esther, chapter 4. If you're there, if you'll stand with me, we'll read God's word together. Esther, chapter number 4, and verse number 1. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud voice and a bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. In every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was a great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maidens and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai, and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hadich, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he appointed to attend unto her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what was and why it was. So Hadich went forth to Mordecai under the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. And he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given in Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king and make supplication unto him and make request request before him for our people. And Hadich came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hadich and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. And all the king's servants, and the people of the king's province do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, unto the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such a one whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come unto the king these 30 days. And then told it to Mordecai, Esther's words. And Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this." I wish you'd place a mental bookmarker around that last phrase. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And Esther bade them return Mordecai thence answer, "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, 3 days, night or day. I also, my maidens, will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Lord, I love you tonight. I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I pray that you'd bless your word tonight. God, take this thought that you've put in my heart and help somebody through the word of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The story of the book of Esther is familiar to many of us. When we pick up in the book of Esther, the years of Babylonian captivity have come to an end. The Persian Empire is now ruling the world. And while the captivity of the Jewish people is over with, there are many Jews, in fact, millions of Jews still living outside of the city of Jerusalem, because Jerusalem at this time is still laying in ruins. Their homeland has been destroyed. And when we pick up in the book of Esther, we learn that there are two Jews specifically living in Shushan the palace. One of them is named Mordecai. We read about him in chapter 4. He is a Jewish man, and he is living there with his cousin Esther. Esther really is more of a daughter to Mordecai because she did not have a father or a mother. But she's living there in Shushan with Mordecai. Esther's story is the Jewish story. You see, Esther's story is the story of the nation of Israel, the Jewish people from the day of their creation unto today. You see, in Esther's day, there was a wicked man by the name of Haman. And Haman, out of jealousy and anger, grew angry with Mordecai because he was second in command in the palace of Shushan. And everybody bowed and reverenced Haman when he come through the city, except for Mordecai. Mordecai wouldn't bow to him because Jewish law and custom forbade him to do that. And so Haman grew angry with Mordecai, and in his anger and his pride, he determined that he wanted to kill not only Mordecai, but he wanted to kill the entire Jewish nation. I say that's the story of the Jews because there's always been somebody that wanted to kill the Jewish people. It's never changed, and it will never change until the Lord comes and gains victory over the enemy of the Jewish people. Under this wicked man Haman, letters go out through Shushan and the surrounding provinces that on a certain day it would become legal for the people in Shushan to murder all the Jews that were there. And as these letters go out through the province of Persia, the announcements are made. It brings us to chapter 4. In chapter 4, Mordecai reads the announcement of the day approaching when the Jews could legally be killed. He realizes that his people are in danger, and he knows that he has to get word to Esther so that she can go before the king. In chapter 2, Esther is made queen in the place of Vashti, who is the queen in chapter 1. But when we get to chapter 4, through a series of events, Mordecai now comes to where he knows he can get word to Esther and begins to mourn there publicly in the gate of the city. Mordecai wants Esther to go to the king. He wants Esther to go and tell the king what is taking place, what this is going to cost, that it's going to cost them their lives. Go say something. The problem is this, Brother Scott. I'm getting to my message. I'm getting there. I promise you I am. Esther sends word back to Mordecai and says, here's the problem. You can't just go to the king. Unless you've been called, unless you've been summoned, the law states that if you go and you interrupt the king and his business, that you'll be put to death. And Mordecai sends word to Esther, and this is what he says. He says, Esther, honey, I want you to know that just because you're in the palace doesn't mean you're not going to die. And just because you're in the palace does not mean that you'll receive deliverance. In fact, if you don't step up and you don't do something now, then deliverance will come from somewhere else. And you and your father's house will die. And he said, besides, Esther, I just wonder, could it be, Esther, that God has placed you where he's placed you for this time and for this purpose? As I began to think and pray and study this week, it seemed like the Lord began to lay this thought on my heart. I believe that God put Esther where God put Esther for a certain time and a certain purpose. And I just can't help but wonder tonight, while I preach, if God hasn't put you in a certain place, in a certain time, for a purpose. I want to preach for a few minutes tonight on this thought. It's time. It's time. I don't know why, but this theme has been on my heart for some weeks now. Just a couple of weeks ago, I preached out of the Gospel of John, and I preached on that little lad that gave his little lunch, and I told you that day that I believe there was someone here, maybe several someones, that needed to give in to God and give over to God and maybe give some things up to God. And it seems like that thought has not left my heart. It seems like that thought is still in my mind tonight, and it's been in my mind this week. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I want you to know that God sent me here tonight, and he sent me to say, it's time. I don't know what it is time for you to do. I wonder if there's somebody here and maybe it's time that you join this church. Amen. God has led you here and God has put you here. God has brought you to this point at this time, and It's time. Maybe God wants you to give something up in the way of service. Maybe God has been moving in your heart about something. Something you're supposed to do. Somebody you're supposed to witness to. Somebody you're supposed to tell about the Lord. And you've been putting it off and you've been holding it back. But I'm telling you tonight, neighbor, it's time. Amen. Could it be that God's been speaking to you about your billfold, your money? Maybe you've not been tithing to this church and God's been telling you to. You've been telling God you can't, but God's been telling you you can. Or maybe God's been telling you to give in missions and do more for missions and really get serious about this thing of giving. And you've been holding back and you've been holding off. But God sent me here tonight to say it's time, it's time. Amen. Maybe you don't even know what God wants you to do, but you know that God wants something from you. And I want you to know that tonight is the night that you give in to God and you give it up to God and you give it over to God. It's time you start stop sitting on the fence and do what God has told you to do. Amen. Esther's faced with a decision. If you read the chapter, she tries her best. She really does to put it off. But Mordecai tells her that this is her time. She cannot put it off one day longer. God has placed this in her life and it is for her to do, and this is her time. I want to show you three things out of the chapter tonight about its time. I want you to notice this, number one. I want you to see the fear. I want you to see, number one, the fear. When word comes to Esther of what Mordecai wants her to do, she's immediately afraid. She knows that going before the king is not as easy as it sounds. There were laws in place to keep the king from being interrupted, to prevent him from being interrupted in his daily business. And if she goes before the king, that could cost her her very life. And so when word comes from Hadich the servant, and Hadich says, Mordecai, Esther, wants you to go before the king. He wants you to speak to the king, tell the king. She is immediately afraid. She is immediately afraid because she does not know how it'll turn out if she does what God has called her to do. What is going to happen? What will the end result be? Can I say that most of the time, when God tells you to do something, your very first instinct is going to be fear. Amen? I guarantee you it's going to be fear. I remember the night that God called me to preach. I remember laying in bed and I'd been dealing with stuff for months. God had been working on me for months and I was too stupid to even know it. I didn't know what was going on. But one night laying in my bed, just like that, it's almost like God flipped a light switch in my head and said, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want for your life right now. And you know, the very first thought I had, I don't know. I started getting afraid. Amen. I really did. I was afraid. It was late at night. I called my father-in-law. He didn't help me out at all. I said, preacher, how do you know if God's calling you to preach? And this is what he said. If God's calling you, you'll know. Thanks a lot, pal. I woke you up for that. Lord, have mercy. Scared to death. I prayed and prayed, went to bed. Next day was Sunday, and I knew going to bed that I had to announce my call the next morning at church. Got up the next morning and decided I wasn't going to do it. I was afraid is what I'm trying to tell you. And I'm telling you that anytime God places something inside of your heart and he tells you to do it, your very first instinct is going to be fear. Notice this, letter A, she's afraid. Why is she afraid? Because, letter A, she feels unprepared. She feels unprepared. Verse number 11, she says, the king hasn't called for me. The king hasn't extended his golden scepter to me. Esther's saying to Mordecai in verse 11, she's saying, Mordecai, I can't do this. I don't have the capacity to do this. I'm not prepared for this, Mordecai. The time is not right. Maybe if I could put it off, maybe if I could just wait to another time. She's trying her best to put it off because she feels unprepared. Hey, if there was ever a person that had the odds stacked against him, it was Esther. Hey, Esther had the fact that she was a female against her. People didn't treat females the same way as they treated males in this day. She had that against her. She had the law against her. The law said they could kill the Jews. I bet the guards were against her. No doubt they were on Haman's side. That was against her. She'd been fasting for 3 days. Her appearance probably was against her. Hey, I'm telling you, the odds were stacked against her, and she felt unprepared, and she began to do what most us good Baptists do when God tells us to do something. She began to say, Lord God, if you'd just give me a sign. Hey, she did. She said, He's not called for me. If I could hear the king's voice calling, if I could hear him say, Esther, I want you to come. Boy, if I could just hear that voice. If he would give me a sign, I'd do it. If he would extend to me that golden scepter, then I would give in. Then I would do it. Hey, y'all do the same thing. Don't act like you're super spiritual. You do it too. God tells you to do something. God, if you'd just speak to me from heaven. Lord God, I know you don't do that, but if you'd just speak to me, if I could hear your voice, I'd know to do it. God, if you'd give me a sign. Lord, if you want me to do it, let me catch all green lights on the way to work this morning. I'll know it's you then, God. Hey, if he would just extend... But hey, God was not going to let her hear a voice. And God was not going to give her a sign. In fact, Mordecai sends word back and he says, Lord, honey, God's already given you a sign. Why don't you look around you, Esther? God has put you here. God has put you here now. God has done this for you, Esther, because this is your time. God's already showed you by placing you in this position. This is your time, Esther. This is your time. Hey, you may feel unprepared, but God said it's your time. Amen. She feels unprepared. Not only is she afraid because she feels unprepared, but she's afraid because she fears the unknown. She fears the unknown. In verse 11, she says, if I go before him, he may very well take my life. Notice her what ifs. She's afraid because she doesn't know how the king will react if she goes before him. She did not know if she would hear him, if he would hear her out, or if he would take her life. She just didn't know, and she's afraid because she fears the unknown. Hey, I believe the fear of the unknown is one of the hardest obstacles to overcome. We like to know how every decision's going to play out before we make it. Hey, and I'm a planner and I'm a worrier. If you know me, you know I'm a planner and I'm a worrier. Hey, but I like to have things planned out. I like to know how it's going to turn out. But I'm telling you, honey, sometimes in the work of God, in the will of God, you're not going to know how it's going to turn out from the beginning. That's why it's called faith and not proof. God's asking you to trust Him about some things. God's asking you to just believe Him about some things. God's saying, you trust me, you lean on me, and let me take care of all the details. You let me take care of the rest. You just do what I've told you to do, and let me take care of everything else. And I'm telling you, you may not know, and you may not see it all now, but you're here and God's put you here, and it's time to just trust God about some things. Hey, I'm telling you, it's time. I want you to see her fear. And let me say this, God's not asking you to do something blindly. That's not what faith is. Faith isn't a blind leap in the dark. That's not faith. What faith is God asking you to do what He's told you to do. That's faith. Amen. I see number one, the fear. I see number two, I see the fasting. I see the fasting. Verse 16, Esther says, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. There are 15 million Jews in the province of Persia at this time. Now every one of them is in danger. Mordecai has proven that he is not afraid to let everybody know where he stands. He has proven that he's not afraid to let everybody know that he's a Jew. There's some things you just can't be neutral on. Mordecai knew he couldn't be neutral on this. Knowing that it is time for her to step up, Esther begins to ask prayer and fasting on her behalf. She asked fasting because, letter A, she had accepted her burden. She had accepted her burden. When Esther asked for those around her to fast, she is accepting what God has put in her heart to do. in her mind, she has made a determination. Boy, I talked about a determined woman this morning. And here we are with it again. She is determined in her mind. She is going to the king. Hey, she has made up her mind on this. I want to share something with you that God's shown to me. She makes up her mind, I'm going to do it. But I want you to see something. When she's going back and forth with Mordecai, before she settled on it, she says, Mordecai, I just don't know. I don't know if I can go for the king or not. Mordecai sends word back and he says, Esther, honey, I just want you to know that if you don't go before the king, that deliverance will arise from somewhere else. That's what he says. You see, God had promised protection to the Jewish people. When God instituted the Jewish nation, way back in the book of Genesis, he made Abraham a promise. He said, I'll bless them that bless you and I'll curse them that curse you. And J. Vernon McGee got it right when he said every nation that has rose up against the Jews to kill them, the Jews have stuck around long enough to attend their funeral. Hey, I'm telling you, God's going to protect the Jewish people. He said, Esther, God's going to protect us. He said, but Esther, I want you to know something. If you don't do what God's told you to do and deliverance comes from somewhere else, then it very well may be, Esther, that God sends punishment to you and your house. He might just let your family's house die. You'll miss out on your blessing and you're opening yourself up for punishment. I find that interesting because of this. God's will and God's way is much bigger than you and I. I got news for you, big boy. You could leave church tonight and the church would go on. Amen? Church is much bigger than me. Much bigger than me. But David, if I never come back again, the church would go on. Jesus said that the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against his church. Church is bigger than you and it's bigger than me. And the church will go on with or without you and it'll go on with or without me. But if I refuse to do what God has called me to do, the church won't stop. But I'm going to miss out on my blessing and I'm going to open myself up to punishment. And if God has told you to do something and you put it off and you extend it and you keep pushing God away, hey, it may very well be that the work keeps going on, but you miss out on your blessing and you open yourself up to punishment because it's your time and you're not doing what God's told you to do. Amen. That's good preaching right there, Doc. You're doing well tonight. Y'all help me out, I'll help myself out. Amen. She accepts her burden. I thought about this. Talked about missing out on that blessing. And I'm going to move on. We're studying on Wednesday nights in the book of Acts. And we'll discover here in just a couple Wednesday nights that when Paul and Barnabas go out on their first missionary journey, they take a young man with them. His name's John Mark. John Mark goes and he's going to be a missionary. He's going to do it. He's called. He's going to be a missionary. Brother Francis, John Mark doesn't last very long, does he? Before he tells Paul, he says, sir, I just don't think I was cut out for this. I'm going back to the house. And he leaves the ministry and he goes back home. You know, God will use John Mark again. God will let him and Barnabas go out and be great missionaries. But he won't ever go with Paul again. Next time Paul goes, he'll take Silas with him. In fact, him and Barnabas will split ways because of John Mark. And Paul will take Silas with him and he'll find another young man. This young man will be named Timothy. And Timothy will step into the shoes that John Mark used to be standing in. And it'll be Timothy that'll take over the ministry after Paul's gone. It'll be Timothy that Paul writes two books of the Bible to. It'll be Timothy that Paul says, you're my son in the faith. I wonder if it could have been John Mark. If we'd have had 1 John Mark and 2 John Mark instead of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, if he hadn't went back to the house. I guess what I'm trying to say is, don't let the devil rob you out of your blessings. When she begins to fast, she accepts her burden, let her be, she asks for blessings. She not only wanted Mordecai to pray for, she wanted Mordecai to pray that what she's about to do would be blessed by God. I think I've been at Northside Baptist Church long enough to know something about this church. I think I've been here long enough to know that if somebody was to come down to this altar and say, I've not been given, but God wants me to start giving tonight, and I want y'all to pray that God blesses me, I think I know enough about this church to believe that there'd be some men and women gather around you and pray God bless them for what they're about to do. Amen. I don't think I'm wrong there. I think if God's called you to do something, told you to do something in this church, for this church, with this church, and you've not done it yet, I believe if you'd come down here and pray, there'd be some men and women gather around you and pray that God bless you for your effort. Amen. I believe that if God told you to surrender your life and join this church, I believe there'd be some people gather around you and pray that God would bless you in your time here. I see the fear. I see the fasting. Number three, I'm out of here. I see the follow through. I see the follow through. Verse 16, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast you for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. Also my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I, going into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. I don't have time to go into all the story of Esther, but she's made up her mind now. She's determined that she's going to do what God is putting her life to do. But can I say that just making up your mind to do something and doing it are two separate things? Esther could have made up her mind in chapter 4 to do it and chickened out in chapter 5 and not done it. But I want you to see this. I want you to see the fulfillment. I don't have time for it. Chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 2. In my mind, I picture a large room, probably marble floors and marble columns, going down two sides of a long corridor, and at the end of the corridor, there's a grand throne. And on that throne sits the king of Persia. And in my mind, as I look down that grand throne room, and I see those pillared columns, those marble columns on the side, if I look real close, Brother Tom, standing in one of the shadows of one of those marble columns is a young girl. I can see her with her head bowed in prayer. I can almost picture her pulse as it beats very rapidly. Her hands are probably sweaty and clammy. And she's about to do what God's called her to do. And she steps out from behind that shadow and looks at the king eyeball to eyeball. You know the way the story progresses. She takes that first step, and God blesses it from that point forward. She's afraid she's going to die, Brother Steve. But she takes that first step, step of faith. Just trust in God. Amen. For such a time as this. And she's afraid. Amen. But she takes that first step, not knowing what the future is going to be, not knowing how it's going to turn out. This could be the end of Esther. She takes that first step. And when she does, the Bible says that king, I believe he got a big smile on his face. He probably thought to himself, boy, I forgot how good looking she was in the last 30 days. And he holds that scepter out. He says, Esther, I'm glad you come. You just tell me what you want, baby. I'll give you up to half my kingdom. She did what God had called her to do. The fulfillment of it. But not only I see the fulfillment, I see the future. God takes the faith of this woman, and he saves an entire nation. An entire nation saved because one woman did what God had called for her to do. To this day, the Jews still celebrate the Feast of Purim. They'll gather together and they'll celebrate this great victory of Esther. And they'll celebrate for days. They'll read the book of Esther and they'll cheer as Esther saves her people. Every time Haman's name is mentioned, they'll shake rattlers and they'll stomp their feet because they don't want his name to be heard. They celebrate it to this day. I'm preaching about her tonight. I wonder what God could do with your future if you just do what he's called you to do. I said, Brother Josh, I'll do it. I'll do it next Sunday. But this is your time. He said, if I could have a few more months to figure some things out, but this is your time. I don't know what the end result will be, but this is your time. I wonder, with heads bowed all over the building, we don't need a song, we don't need music, we don't need anything. I just wonder if God has placed it in your heart to do something. Has God told you to do something? Has God told you individually to do something? Has God told your family to do something? I don't know why God sent this message tonight. I really don't. In fact, I'll be honest with you. As I begin to prepare for this message, some folks that I hope would get some help from it, they're not even here tonight. But God knew you'd be here, and God sent a word that it's time.